On this spotlight episode of the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk with Otherworld Theater about Of Dice and Men. Hello, welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Bashan. This is another spotlight episode. It's more of a micro episode. It breaks from my normal format. And usually I do these episodes to kind of spotlight something that I think is really cool that's going on in the area or community or just in nerddom in general. And today we are going to talk about Of Dice and Men, which I think is a very clever title. And I have a guest on with me who wants to talk about this show. Why don't you go on and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Tiffany Keene. I am the director of Dice and Men and also the artistic director and founder of Otherworld Theater Company.
Ooh.
So fancy.
I'm so fancy. Tiffany, let's spend a few minutes talking about you. Are you a theater major? Like, what's your background? How did you become involved in this? And what type of nerd are you?
Oh, okay. Well, I was a theater major at Columbia College of Chicago, and I majored in theater with a concentration in directing. I founded Otherworld Theater. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit later.
We'll get to Otherworld, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm definitely, I work at Lifeline Theater as a house manager.
Oh, nice.
And they're doing some really awesome nerdy stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Monstrous Regiment is going to open there, which Ooh. Is a Terry Pratchett adaptation.
Ooh, we just had a Neil Gaiman podcast, so Terry Pratchett podcast is coming. So.
They're buds.
Yes, they are.
So also check out that. But I'm very interested in bringing science fiction and fantasy stories to the stage.
Okay.
That's kind of been my ambition in life so far, I guess, artistically.
Okay.
So it's actually been quite an adventure bringing on Dice of Men to the stage.
All right. What are your nerd hobbies? Are you a movie buff? Are you a gamer? Are there authors that you really are drawn to? Just so we can get a little bit about you.
Absolutely. I'm definitely, I think, a literary nerd.
Okay.
Probably the most, if there's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
I'm a gamer, video gamer, okay. More than a tabletop gamer, although I'm getting into it now that I've directed Of Dice
course.
And Men.
Yes.
I've actually never gamed prior to,
what?
I know,
we're gonna talk.
The script.
Oh, we're going to talk about the gaming aspect.
Absolutely.
There's something very fascinating about that.
Absolutely. But I've been introduced pleasantly so to tabletop gaming through this script. So very thankful for that opportunity as well.
Okay.
I'm a big Star Trek person as
nice.
Well.
Nice.
So I'm really all over the place.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Of Dice and Men. This is a play by Cameron McNary, is that correct?
Yes.
How old is the show?
Well, it was originally done at PAX East in 2009. You are testing my...
I am.
My background in this. 2009. And, he wrote it because at the time there really wasn't a lot of positive aspects of tape, like representations of gamers at the time that he was writing it.
To jump on that,
sure.
I don't have the quote in front of me, but I saw a quote by him that he essentially said one reason he wrote the show was he wanted to portray nerds like in a really realistic way, like not the stereotypical like overweight with like chip stained t-shirts, you know,
mm-hmm.
like really socially inept people, but more of like, this is why we do this, like. And I think he said his hope for the show was that for anyone that is a gamer or tabletop gamer, like they could bring their wife, their girlfriend, their husband or whatever, their kids to the show, and it would illuminate like, this is why we do this. Would you agree with that statement, or?
That is very apparent in the script itself.
Mm-hmm.
It is a show that has Dungeons and Dragons in it,
okay.
But it is not. It is about the people that play more so than it actually is about the game itself.
Okay.
They just happen to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay,
but it's definitely more about the friendships that were created because of the game.
Okay. Without spoiling the show, can you give me like a quick synopsis of what it's about, or?
Sure. The play follows Don Francis, who is the Dungeon Master, and spoiler free. It's about John Francis and his group of Dungeons and Dragons players, and what happens when one of his players enlists to go to Iraq.
Oh, okay.
That is
the quick bare bones.
The quick bare bones of the one sentence.
Okay. Do you feel the show is directed at a specific audience? Like, could I have no interest in D&D and be a very normal person and go see and enjoy this show? Or is it really tailored for...
Absolutely. Okay. Cameron McNary, because I've talked to him, through Skype.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I've talked with him a lot, many occasions on the subject. And he has this really great quote where he says... you don't have to be a 19th century Jew to appreciate Fiddler on the Roof.
Hmm.
So I think that that illustrates beautifully that you don't have to be a gamer to understand and appreciate these people.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say specifically about the show? I kind of want to talk about other world theater, but any other things we should know about of Dice and Men?
When I read the play, it was interesting because I wasn't a gamer. So okay. And by the time I was at the end of it, like, these people were my best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, the characters are so dynamic and fun and playful, and you just know them. They're people that you've seen in your day-to-day life, mm-hmm. and you just identify with them so quickly.
I remember seeing your audition notice, and I was unfortunately not able to audition for your show. But I did see that part of the rehearsal process was going to be playing D&D. Is that correct?
It was.
You guys had gaming sessions?
We did. Oh. We did have gaming sessions every Friday. Because it was important for me as well to know how to play. And it was, you know, it was very in-depth. And I've always wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons. It was just always like, I would either find a group that was just, you know, so, you know, they didn't want to, like, hold my hand through it, I guess. Like, they didn't want to take in another noob.
Right.
Or we were all noobs, and it just kind of always fell apart. Like, how does this work? And we're trying to figure out the dynamics and things like that. So this was a great opportunity because the actor who plays John Francis is a DM regularly.
Oh, so he
actually was able to DM our actual session. So it was really fascinating.
Cool. Who's in the cast, by the way? I meant to ask that.
Absolutely. We have Bennett Botero, who plays John Francis. Sawyer Heppes, who plays John Alex. We have Mary-Kate Arnold, who plays Tara. We have Elliot Sowards, who plays Jason. We have Gwen Fulcher, who plays Linda. And we have Sam Fain, who plays Brandon.
Okay. Cool. I know a little bit of your cast. I'm not familiar, actually, with most of them, but... I really think that's pretty cool that you guys actually had gaming sessions.
We did, and it was actually really great. It was nice to... You find out a lot about people
mm-hmm.
by the characters they choose. Mm-hmm. So it was actually a really great way to bond as a cast and to find out more about each other.
Mm-hmm.
Who played a sorceress? It was just very interesting. And
who plays the morally ambiguous character is always like a big tale, you know, like, oh.
Huh. It was funny because Bennett, for that, he wanted to give us free rein a little bit more than usual because he was like, I really want you guys to have fun with your character creation. So it ended up that we had a lot of morally ambiguous characters.
I mean...
So we were a packet of thieves.
Okay. All right. That's how that happens. I usually like, I can't do it. I have to play the good person. Like, I love playing the hero.
Are you a paladin?
I won't do paladin. I mean, I've played paladin.
That's too good for
it's
you.
Too good. You know, I mean, I tread this line of like Robin Hood good to Captain Picard good. So it just kind of like depends my mood. But really evil characters, I have a hard time playing. Even in like video games like Mass Effect or Dragon Age, like
I can't do the evil option.
I've got to do the good option. I've got to. So let's pull back a little bit and talk about other world theater. What is Otherworld Theater? How long have you guys been around? What's the purpose of the company? Where do you guys perform? All of these questions. I throw them at you now.
And I will try to answer them.
How old is the company?
Let's start with that. The company is about a year and a half.
Okay.
We started, it was actually very interesting. I just graduated from Columbia College, and I was, you know, had my theater degree in hand, and I was looking at all of my options for a director, and it was either start your own theater company or assistant direct forever, or get an apprenticeship. And what I was really interested in is I had just done my directing thesis on 1984. George Orwell's adaptation.
Oh, I should do a podcast on that. Go on.
It was such a great experience for me, and it highlighted for me that it can work on stage. You know, there was a lot of questions about, like, well, why try to do something on theater if film can do it so much better? Mm. Was a lot of, you know, the responses that I was getting, but I was like, no, especially after I did 1984, I was like, it's really about the hero's journey. It's always about the hero's journey. And if you can illustrate that and bring it to a live medium, then why not? Like, why are you going to keep, you know, spectacle? Okay, fine. But it's really, at the end of the day, it's about the people and being present with the hero, I think, is something that as nerds, we're all really fascinated in. I mean, you know, you go to cons and everyone is trying to impersonate their heroes. And why not bring that to a theatrical medium? So that was the quest, I guess, for me. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to try to do this, because right at that time, too, Ray Bradbury passed. And Ray Bradbury was my hero. Like, he was the reason why I wanted to be a storyteller. He was a very inspirational man in my life. And it was on my bucket list to meet him. And then he died. And I was so sad. I was so very sad. And I knew it was like his clock was ticking. Because he was, you know, very ill at the end. But I was still like, you know, there was it was such an emptiness for me. And I had never really felt that before. Having an artist that I idolized pass. So then I was like, I really like to do Fahrenheit. Like, that was one of my favorite books growing up. And it was, you know, it was a book about having a love of books. So, and that's my first nerddom. So I think it also, for me, it was giving me an opportunity to meet him. Is like, if I did Fahrenheit 451, like, and I was making his characters come to life, maybe in some weird way, like, this would be me meeting him. So I was like, I would really like to do a Ray Bradbury festival where we could all come together and it could be a free event and we would just celebrate his life and work. And I was like, this is going to cost money.
I'm going to need money for this.
I'm going to need so much money for this. So then I just started doing fundraisers, and it was also a nice way for us to build our fan base and see if this would be even something that people would enjoy. So then we did, you know, we had Nerdfest, which was like this very montagey, like just nerd a Nerdfest at a bar. And we were just, it was $5 and everyone just came in and had really cheap drinks and saw some improv. And it was just so great how, like, the community just, like, we sold out, like, we couldn't fill the venue anymore. Like, they just came just to celebrate and try to make money for this. So that was the impetus for Otherworld Theater.
Okay.
It was really because of, you know, a lot of things, but semi for Ray Bradbury, because I really wanted this festival to happen. Semi because I just didn't really want to do the assistant directing thing forever, because I actually did that a lot and, you know, had internships throughout, being in college. So I didn't really want to do that forever. Okay. And, you know, science fiction and fantasy theater company isn't really here in Chicago. So then Otherworld did Fahrenheit, and we made it happen, and we had the Ray Bradbury Festival, and it was awesome.
Are there any theater companies that you look at that you think serve as a good model for you guys to follow, or any companies that do kind of what you do that you aspire to be, or...
Well, we're a little, we are unique. Like, there isn't a science fiction and fantasy theater company. I have my roots at Lifeline. They were the ones I interned with, and I saw Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere there.
Oh, I've seen the BBC miniseries. I've never read the book or seen it on stage, but I'm familiar with Neverwhere.
And there's also a radio play of it that BBC did recently. And it's very good. It's very good. But anyway, yes, I saw that on stage and I was like, see, these guys understand what I'm trying to do. they don't always do science fiction and fantasy theater, but they, you know, right, like, they're doing Monstrous Regiment coming up, which is Terry Pratchett. But yeah, I definitely, and House Theater is another one.
I'm familiar with a friend of mine works there, and he, like, The Rose and the Rhyme, The Iron Stag King, I think is what it's called. So I'm familiar with some of the House Theater's work and whatnot.
They did an amazing adaptation of A Wizard of Oz, like, maybe 6 years ago, and that was, like, right when I came into the came to the city when I was a freshman in college. So, like, there have been productions that I've been like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, that really speaks to me. But, I mean, there hasn't been a theater that in our area, at least, that, like, specifies in the kind of work that we want to do.
How large is Otherworld Theater? Do you guys have an ensemble?
We do have an ensemble. Okay. We have an ensemble of 12.
Okay.
So we have grown significantly in this past year. It was just me, and then there was another person, and then, like, we just kind of, like, grew. And it's been really awesome to find like-minded people who are excited about doing science fiction and fantasy on the stage.
Are you non-for-profit?
We are a non-for-profit.
Okay.
And we're working on our 501c3.
Okay.
But that takes forever.
Yeah. Do you guys have a location that you typically perform out of? I know of Dice and Men is going up at Public House, but I didn't know if there were other venues.
As of right now, we're definitely like a traveling theater company.
Okay.
The Ray Bradbury Fest was at Straw Dog Theater.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Any other things that Otherworld Theater is working on that we can look forward to later in the year?
Right now we're looking at doing the Paragon Plays, which is going to be a new reading series. We're trying to reach out to playwrights and even screenwriters and say, you know, if you have an idea for a great, you know, story, it doesn't necessarily have to be for film.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's transcendental. So we're looking into also doing new work. And that was another reason why Of Dice and Men really appealed to me to do, is because it had been around for a bit, but this is its Midwest premiere.
It's
never been done in the Midwest before. And it is a new work. It's, you know, it's not that old.
Okay. So, Otherworld Theater Company, is there a website people can go to first off?
Yes, absolutely. It is www.otherworldtheater.org.
Okay, that's easy to remember.
Easy to remember.
Why are you guys called Otherworld, by the way? Where did the name come from?
It was hard for me to... Because we had to incorporate both science fiction and fantasy in one world. One world? One word. I literally just was just scrapping my brain, and, you know, like, what is it about science fiction and fantasy that we like to do? And I think it's a lot about exploration. Mm-hmm. It's a lot about being adventurous and answering the call to adventure. I'm a big Joseph Campbell person.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading A Hero with a Thousand Faces, and I just, you know, I don't really remember what the sentence even was, but he said something about, and it, like, transporting to an other world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, other world. There it is. It's right.
That's
there.
It.
It's so simple.
What is the run of Dice and Men? What time, what days, what theater?
It is at the Public House Theater. It is on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30, and on Sundays at 3:30. And it is $15.
Okay, awesome. I'm really excited to see the show. I am a gamer, and I mean, I was raised with Hero Quest all the way through Robotech, and then eventually D&D. So
mm-hmm.
I'm really, really curious. Whenever I think of the portrayal of gaming, I feel it's definitely become more acceptable now. I know when I was growing up, there was a huge stigma against it of, like,
did you hide that you were a gamer?
Amongst my friends, I didn't really have to. And the high school I went to, I mean, it never really came up. So I guess, yeah, I kind of probably hid it a little bit. And I mean, I was full-blown play from like 11 at night till 4 in the morning, eating pizza rolls with your friends, you know. Like, I mean, we did the whole nine yards. I saw a lot of sunrises come up thanks to Dungeons & Dragons and rolling dice and whatnot. But I grew up in the South, and I mean, there was that big movement of, you know, D&D is a cultish, it leads to the devil.
Yeah, that's brought up in the play.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Oh, fascinating. Oh, I really want to see that. I feel that view has really been pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't experience it here in Chicago, and when last time I was in the South, it was not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of gotten a little more acceptable. I feel there's probably still a view of, I think the World of Warcraft episode, for instance, of South Park, like, it does this really great job of honoring but also making fun of, like, gamers. So
mm-hmm.
I feel there's probably, I don't know, there's probably still a bad view on it. Although I feel nerds are, like, kind of mainstream now, you know? Like, it's cool to be a nerd, thanks to, like, Doctor Who and all these great sci-fi shows.
Karen McNary says that this play is, like, a love letter to from gamers to non-gamers.
Oh, cool.
You know, like, so if you don't understand why we game, this is why. And he says that he realized that through writing this play, the reason why he plays, yes, it's adventurous, yes, I get to be all these different people, but I really enjoy playing because I get to be with my friends, and it's a way to spend time with my friends in an imaginative way, which is another reason why I don't think that you have to necessarily be a gamer to appreciate the show, because it's really about friendship, you know, and camaraderie. But, I mean, I'm sure that there is a stigma when I, you know, I go home and I'm like, I'm directing this play. It's for, about Dungeons and Dragons players, and, you know, they're like, oh, my God. What a weird play.
Aww.
You know, and I'm...
Aren't all plays a little weird? I mean, come on. I've seen August Osage County. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's all about perspective. True. And that's why I really hit hard that this... It's not just about D&D. Not because people look on D&D, you know, with scorn. And maybe some of people do. But at the end of the day, like, it's definitely about the people that play, because I think that that's what makes it fascinating.
Okay. We're nearing the end of our episode. I've got a few just fun little questions I want to throw out at you. Some of these you may not be able to answer, and that's okay. So real quick, are you more of a fantasy or a science fiction? Where do you tend to drift to? You like dragons and swords, or do you like spaceships?
Oh, it's like killing my children.
It is. It is like killing your children. If you can't choose, that's okay. But do you find that you drift more towards one than the other?
I don't. Okay. I don't feel like I do. Mainly because I think because to my brain, they are one of the same in a lot of instances for me anyway. Like, you know, I'm a big Joseph Campbell person. Mm-hmm. I'll throw that out there. Like, Joseph Campbell has taught me so much about storytelling just from reading his books. And he was a big proprietor to the Star Wars trilogy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was all about myth. So he would be, you know, looking at, you know, Ulysses and Odysseus and, you know, so he was looking at all sorts of books, you know, and figuring out, you know, the common string throughout. Mm-hmm. I always feel that fantasy is more of an introverted exploration, like what it means to be a hero, what it means about self-sacrifice, what it means to conquer your inner demons, what it means to be the perfect person. And science fiction is more extroverted and, like, you know, what is the consequences for reaching that human potential? Can society bear the weight of, you know, if we discover what it means to live forever, or if we, you know, we find this cure to live forever and it turns out to be a zombie virus, you know, like, you know, and having the, like, looking at the consequences of your actions. So that's why it's hard for me to pick one.
Okay. No, that's a really, like, really great answer. Like, that was way better than anything I could have thought of. So that was wonderful. Here's a question I don't know if you'll be able to answer. What is the worst monster to fight in D&D? And I know you have limited experience, but
yes,
I'm curious.
But I grew up... See, I didn't play Dungeons & Dragons, but I was... My favorite video game of all time is Baldur's Gate.
Oh, my brother is huge. Planescape Torment, Icewind Dale.
Yes. Baldur's Gate Shadow Bomb has, and that's the one I was playing until 4 in the morning. And it was based on D&D.
Yeah.
What's
the worst monster in that
Mimic?
Damn game? Okay.
Mimic. I don't like that one. Mm-hmm. I want to get my gold and then you. Then you turn into a monster.
Finally, where do you fall on the Dungeons and Dragons movie? Have you seen it? I believe it has Jeremy Irons.
The best horrible movie ever?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Horrible movie ever. I can watch it and I can enjoy how bad it is. I know that it's painful for Bennett to watch. He can't do it because it's, you know, such a bastardization of everything he loves and holds dear. But I can watch it and just be like, Jeremy Irons is just losing his...
He needs a paycheck. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, the Neverending Story Empress is there. That's cool.
Oh, is she in that?
She is.
Oh, my God. I blocked the movie out. I don't remember her being in it. Is she
She's the Empress. She's like...
Again?
Yes.
Talk about typecasting. All right.
We need an Empress.
Get the childlike Empress.
Who is Empress in the 80s? Let's get her.
I have some friends who were ecstatic that there was a D&D movie. and they were like, Chris, you gotta go see this. This is amazing. There's a D&D movie. Let's go watch it. And I was like, no, guys. Because I had already seen it. And I was like, no, if you want a good D&D movie, go watch Lord of the Rings. Go watch Lord of the Rings. That's great. Go watch that. And they're like, no, we want to watch it. And they ended up going to watch it. And then they were like, you were right. You were right. Lord of the Rings.
But did you laugh, or was it just too painful?
It was pretty painful. I think I went in like really expecting it to be like really awesome and serious and just had my heart broken. So I haven't watched it since. I only saw it the one time. I think if I watched it now, I'd be like, oh, this is so bad. There's a Wayan brothers in this. What's going on?
So. Yeah. And the guy from Scream is in it too. No. Or, not Scream, Scary Movie.
Oh.
Snails.
Oh my gosh. All right. What? All right, we're gonna stop talking about this movie.
You know, just before the movie that was painful for me to watch and got my heart broken was probably Avatar,
aww.
The Last Airbender.
Oh, movie I haven't seen that.
From M. Night Shyamalan did it.
I hear the show is brilliant.
The show is amazing.
I have it's not
my
watched it.
Favorite is like one of my favorite shows, and I'm not even kidding. But yeah, and then I knew he wasn't gonna do it justice, and then I couldn't even sit. 7 minutes I lasted,
aww.
And I just was like, no, I have to leave. I have to leave.
Real quick, since we're at the end of our episode, Tiffany, if people want to buy tickets, where can they buy tickets for your show?
You can go through our website at, as I said before, www.alltheworldtheater.com, or you can go to the Public House's website, www.publichousetheater.com. It's not Public House Theater. It's
theater.com. If you Google it,
yes.
You can find it very easy. I'll put a link in the show. I've had Byron on a few times at this point, so I really should have
the
Pubhouse
Theater.
Pubhouse Theater.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
It's pretty easy. Great. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for coming out. I really look forward to seeing your show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I wish you guys the best in your run, and I really look forward to seeing what you guys do next.
Mm-hmm.
I've been your host, Chris. If you have any comments, questions, or protests, you can email them at nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you are in the Chicago area, please head out to the Public House Theater and see Other Worlds Theater presentation of Dice and Men. Tiffany, thank you for being here. Any final thoughts or things you wish to say before we wrap up?
Roll some dice, get out of the dungeon, and go see if Dice and Men.
All right. And on that, thank you for listening.